They take for fucking ever. I'm too impatient for them.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guests are Nick and Molly. They went to Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, and I didn't, so I interviewed them about what it was like.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey!
And Molly Glover.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. And this is kind of Nick and Molly, you were almost my guests on this episode.
Ooh, look at me. In the castle.
I know, because... and yet I'm not going to ask you our five questions, but...
Yeah, I know. Thank God.
See, here's the deal. You recently, like just last week...
Yes.
Got back from Star Wars Celebration in Chicago.
Yeah.
In Chi-Town.
Yeah. Fucking Chicago.
Fucking Chicago.
Extremely fucking windy city.
It was so fucking windy. It was
polar vortex windy.
It was like a joke. It was so windy, it was like a joke.
Because we had that blizzard here.
Right.
We drove through that blizzard to get to Chicago.
Yes.
It was so windy, we got pelted with hail and had like welts.
I drove through that blizzard fucking twice. I drove through the blizzard to get to Chicago, and then I had to drive through the same fucking blizzard to get out of Chicago.
We swapped driving, planning that I would be the one to drive through the blizzard back.
No, driving in the snow, at least.
Snow.
Yeah, yeah.
But the blizzard flipped, and she ended up driving in it both ways.
It was the first leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was ridiculous.
So that sucks.
Yeah.
Were you staying in a hotel that you had to walk to the convention center?
Yes, we were staying at the Hyatt Regency, but not the Hyatt Regency McCormick. It put us in the Hyatt Regency downtown, so we were about a 10-minute Uber ride away.
Oh.
Like, it was a good long... we couldn't walk to the convention
center.
It would have been an hour.
Right.
Okay.
If it had been great weather, maybe one of the days we might have walked. But
yeah.
it was like 45 to 50 degrees most of the time, and that wind was just like a nightmare.
Yeah, the windy.
We put in a good amount of walking in the convention hall,
McCormick,
too.
The McCormick place is huge.
Yeah.
It is the biggest conventions. I don't know. I've been in the Javits. It's about the size of the Javits in New York City.
Okay. So Star Wars Celebration, for those who don't know, it moves around. It's not like in the same city all the time.
Next year, it'll be back in Anaheim.
Sometimes it's every year. Sometimes there's been like 2-3 years in between or half year.
Haven't there been some years where there have been like more than one?
I think there have been some outside of the U.S. in the same year as one in the U.S. But they don't do it every year necessarily. They do it when they have something to announce or promote.
But they do have like a movie coming out this year,
right.
Or so I've heard.
There was one for 2019, and there's going to be one in 2020.
Right.
It'll be in Anaheim. And
so that'll be the post. Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, be like Mandalorian. The other whatever. What's the new stuff? Favreau's
we
doing.
Don't,
maybe,
we don't or, know what's
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah.
Really. They might be announcing the next trilogy or
right,
something like
right.
that. But the last one was was in Orlando, and it was when they put up the trailer for Last Jedi.
Okay. So just to give a picture, it's in a big convention center.
Yep.
So there's like panels like at a regular convention.
There's
but they're all Star Wars panels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like regular panels in the sense that like, you know, there might be a panel on audiobooks that has, you know, a few of the audiobook, you know, narrators there, or there was a panel on like costuming, things like that. But then there's the big
droid
panels.
Builders.
Yeah, there's the panels that everyone, the big ones everyone talks about. Episode 9, The Mandalorian, and the Galaxy's Edge panels.
And then Monday was Phantom Menace 20th anniversary.
Yeah, so those were across 20th? The street in a big ass arena. Like literally, like where you see a rock
winds,
group.
What
like,
was it? The Winds?
Like the Wyndham, I think, or something.
No. So how many people did it seat?
I'm gonna guess in the tens of thousands.
It's like the Excel Center, the Target Center.
Yeah.
Like it's they have basketball games and shit in there. Like
it's crazy.
It's
so is like every seat filled?
No,
yeah. No, actually, but mostly it was because there were sections that you couldn't really see.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't fill those
seats. So okay, they had a big panel like episode 9 trailer, Mandalorian, Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, yeah.
Phantom Menace to a lesser degree. At 11 o'clock every day at the Wind, whatever.
Do you need me to look it up?
No, whatever. At the big convention area. They made everyone lottery to get into those. So you couldn't, okay. They didn't let anyone wait in line. You had to enter the lottery. You could enter the lottery as a group for and you know, get in like four people or whatever, but you had to have them tied to badges.
Wind Trust.
Were they reserve seats or was it just
sections?
Okay.
So the thing is, like we had five day badges. Some people were getting a badge for like just Friday, a one day badge. Then they were able to enter the lottery for every single day, regardless of whether or not they had a badge that got
them in on
those days.
But they couldn't go on the day.
Right.
But so could they, like, if they got into a panel that they really wanted to get into, could they then like buy a badge for that day?
They were sold out.
It was a weird system. It was the first year they did it this way, and I think they didn't think something through.
So, no, I guess not.
So, And officially, none of them were transferable. Like, they gave you a little QR code, but they weren't checking anyone's badges, really. So there was lots of swapping and trading and even selling online of the lottery entries.
And the badges.
to get in. But when we got in for episode 9, which was the biggest of
I would
the
think.
Panel, the most desirable one, there every section had open seats for sure. Not a ton, but every section.
Maybe even, not the floor.
Maybe
the
not the VIP
stage,
floor.
The VIP
yeah. Maybe not down there.
So how many people are? I mean, there must be like 30,000-40,000 people attending this convention,
say
30, right?
30,000 is what it felt like. Yeah,
I think it was more, but
it may have been more. I didn't get an official number, but it was definitely like the size of Gen Con. Or even maybe a little bigger.
Yeah.
The exhibit hall which is like where all of the, it's like where Fantasy Flight and Funko and all the stuff that you can go buy except for the celebration store, right? All of the non
fan groups had tables.
Yeah. Like, that's if you saw pictures of like the Scarif diorama or like the big stormtrooper head that was made out of Lego stormtroopers and things like that. Like,
I did not see that one.
Yeah,
but that
was all in the exhibit hall. And the exhibit hall was fucking enormous.
Yeah.
It was I couldn't even guess at square footage. Like you could get lost.
Have you been in the Minneapolis Convention Center? I'm just trying to get reference.
It's bigger than that.
Well, sure. I'm just trying the exhibit hall.
So like
you separate Pat and I separate the convention center into boobs because there's those the big domes. There's four boobs.
Okay.
There's we define basically the
totally
size
called.
Of an event that takes place in the convention center by how many boobs it takes up. So the exhibit hall, can you think about how many Minneapolis Convention Center boobs?
I think it's three or four boobs.
Okay.
It was so big that,
and that's just Star Wars shit.
And that's not the panels. That's just the Star Wars shit that people want to sell you.
Right. That's Star Wars shit you can buy.
Or look at
Galaxy's or photo
Edge.
Ops. Or...
Yeah, there was a whole Galaxy's Edge thing that you waited in line to get in, and then there were photo ops along the way, and then there was a place you could look at all the Galaxy's Edge merch that they swapped out every day, so there was new stuff. It's a lot of waiting in line. Star Wars Celebration is a lot of waiting in line. We got lucky because Fantasy Flight is there, and because I worked for them, I was on a panel, so they were being very gracious, and they had extra exhibitor badges, and they let us use them to get in one day so we could, like, you know, walk around and see stuff, which
was
nice.
We couldn't buy anything or do anything because everything
was
closed.
Just to get in and look around.
But we got to look around without
a
crowd, which was great.
If we did not have that access, though, that would have been like getting to the convention center at least 2 hours before the exhibit hall opened to get in line to be able to get into the exhibit hall within the first 45 minutes. Like, honestly, I mean, the Funko stuff, they did a lottery for their lines. Like, you couldn't even buy Funko stuff unless you...
Numerous... exhibitors had items for sale that you had to enter a lottery for, just like the panel.
It sounds a lot like the exhibit hall at San Diego Comic-Con, where there's a convention exclusive stuff, but
oh my god,
okay, so
people
the,
went nuts
the pin,
for the, ex-
the
well
pin
sure
trading. The pin trading is huge, so just like Disney World, it's enamel pins. that were exclusive to every, like, different exhibitors got different pins, and they all had different rules about what you had to do to get them. Like, some of them you had to buy a certain thing. Like, at Fantasy Flight, you just had to spend $30, and they were telling me, someone was telling me, they had people coming up and being like, what do I what can I buy that will just get me the pin? Like, what can I buy? And someone even said, what can I buy and flip on eBay that would, that
you know, I mean... It's legit. That's a good, legit question.
Sure. I mean, you're asking someone, how can I make more money off your product? So the answer is the Destiny 2 player starter. which you will not flip on for more money on eBay. But
that's not your problem.
Right.
But like lots of places had one enamel pin that you could only get there.
Yep.
And the entire set was like 52 pins or 32 pins.
It's a lot.
For this year only. And many of them were limited to 1,000 or less. Or
when you're talking about 30,000 people, that's...
Right. And so on top of that, then, there's also the Star Wars Celebration store, which is where you can buy all the exclusive Star Wars Celebration merch. We did not go in there because the shortest the line ever was to get in was 3 hours.
Holy shit.
Then it's another hour or more to check out.
And then you find out that most of the stuff that you want probably is sold out. Whether
on
it's
the
sold
first
out
or second day.
Yeah. Like, there were things that were sold out within the first 2 hours of the show. Like, we weren't even there yet. We were driving still, and stuff was sold out.
So basically, if you're going to go to Star Wars Celebration, you want to get there like 5 hours early.
Well, see, okay, so here's the thing, though. Something was broken this weekend, that weekend. There was a system in place, not unlike Disney's FastPass system. It was called the
Lightspeed.
Lightspeed. They had
sense.
They had Lightspeed lanes set up where, hypothetically, you could... put yourself in the queue for things
on the app using the app
on the app they had for the convention, and then be like, oh, okay, cool. I have a window to go to the Celebration store on Friday between like 2 and 3.
Okay, that's actually a good idea.
I can go do whatever the fuck I want.
Sure.
And then I can show up like for my fast pass, just like for that.
And they had them for Galaxy's Edge. They had them for different vendors, like Oculus's VR game for Vader to try out. It broke in the first hour, and they turned it off for the entire weekend.
And then they never took down any of the signage about it, and so people just had to wait in line.
And they didn't tell anyone. We found out on the Star Wars Celebration subreddit.
I heard that the person who made the app got fired on the spot.
I would think they should.
At the convention.
Like, at the convention.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That worked... It might have been a really different experience. It might have been.
I guess I would say, like, plan to wait in line. Like, there was a Starbucks, right? There's a Starbucks in the convention center.
There was a Starbucks inside the security line.
Yeah.
So if you had already been searched and gone through the metal detector, you didn't have to go out to get Starbucks.
Which is great.
Which is nice.
Except that the line for that was the shortest I ever saw it was I waited about 30 minutes top to bottom from getting in line to getting my drink. So that's not terrible. But the thing is, if, like, you're trying to do a lot of stuff, it's very hard.
Yeah.
Because it's time consuming.
So much of your time is spent waiting in line. And unfortunately, they don't quite have that. Galaxy's Edge, the exhibit, definitely had the Disney thing.
They were prompt.
Not only that,
and efficient.
But the waiting in line was fun. There was stuff to look at.
The whole way through.
And so you felt like it was a Disney experience.
Right.
Which is great. Everything else was just a fucking line.
Yeah.
So you were just standing on concrete.
Velvet ropes.
Just standing on concrete behind a bunch of other people waiting your turn.
Did you get any of the pins that were there?
Yeah.
So they had these vending machines in the exhibit hall. They were kind of hidden. But if you went up to the vending machine, they always had a couple pin sets. Like, you could get the Empire pin set. You know, it'd be the Emperor and Vader and I think Kylo.
A Stormtrooper.
Yeah. And then, not Kylo, obviously. Yeah. And then they had the First Order one, which was Snoke and Kylo and then they had
random box ones where you'd get... For $15, you get 2 random pins, and you don't know which ones.
Those sold out a lot. People still sold out almost a lot. But, like, you could get the fancy lanyard. You could get... There were a few, I think, like, hats and things in the vending machine, maybe. Like,
small items
stuff.
That you could that would be at the Celebration store exclusively, but you didn't have to wait in line in the store for them. But they sold out quickly. We happened to be wandering by as a woman was restocking the machines, and she was like, "Yeah, hang out for a minute. You can be first in line."
Boom!
It was great.
They did a lot of really cool stuff. They had these 5 daily prize stations where you could scan your badge and it would say whether or not you won a prize. Now, we never won anything, and I never saw anyone win anything.
But Amazon had them set up, and they had like a big pile of Star Wars Lego sets and T-shirts and stuff.
Yeah, but theoretically, you could have won a prize there.
Sometimes you'd be walking by and it'd be like, "Oh, there's nobody in line. Cool. I'm gonna go scan my badge. Boop."
And then
you'd find out you lost and go do something else.
The line would take like 3 minutes. So you're like, you know, because it's just boop, nope, boop, nope, boop. Or whatever.
Yeah.
At least theoretically, somebody.
But there are 5 of them, and they're all over the. They're like scattered.
We did the bounty hunt, which is if you ever played MinZero's like puzzle quest things they did here back in the day.
It's puzzly scavenger hunt.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle based scavenger hunt. So you get a sheet, you get a 8 puzzles, and they are all kinds of puzzles. One was like a whole huge, like a 20x20 grid of smiley and of little emoticons, smiling, frowning, and nothing. And you had to shade them different colors based on what it said. And then it was going to make a picture of a character. And then you looked up the character in your little guide, your little contacts guide, and it gave you a location in the McCormick Center to go find a person who would then stamp your thing.
Wow.
And then, so you had to solve a puzzle. And then from solving the puzzle, you had to figure out where to go. And then you went there and you had to find them, which was difficult.
Well, so the bounty hunt went from 3 to 5 every day. So it's in 2 stages. They give you a pack of puzzles. Once you've done 4 of them, you can bring it back and change it for the next set, which are harder and worth more points, and then go out and do them and bring them back.
Whoever can get the most points in the 2-hour time limit.
Okay. But your whole team has to be at every spot you get stamped or you check in or you check in your points.
People who have big teams, it's like, that's cool.
Limit
like,
of 4.
Yeah, but if you have 4 people, like that's you have more minds on a thing, but also more people to wrangle. So
there were a couple times when it was like, we know the character and we know where we need to go and no one could find the person.
Like, we could see other teams.
We could see other teams like in the same area with the same envelope in their hand, like trying to find some dude with a badge.
That was a little frustrating.
Yeah. Like, it happened twice where no one could find the person that was there. So maybe we had the wrong clue and we're looking for the wrong person, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Some of the puzzles got obscenely hard. The hardest one was a list of characters that you had to list in order of appearance, but it incredibly minor.
That one was that there was.
Are you talking about the planets one?
No, yeah. And then the other one was they gave you characters and you had to say what planet we first saw, what planet they were first on in Star Wars, not where we first see them, but where they first existed that we actually saw. So, for example, Jyn Erso, you might want to say the first planet she's on is where we see her. When she first shows up, but know that she has a flashback to when she's a kid about when her parents get attacked or whatever, and that's the planet you have to put.
Right.
Right.
And some of them don't have a planet, and if they don't have a planet, then you just leave it blank, and then you figure out from there, you unscramble it to come up with a character name.
All the characters that are blank, you grab a certain letter from their name to make something that spells out a hint that tells you who your next character you need to find is.
Yeah, it was
so
crazy.
If it says Lando Calrissian,
last,
you might think Bespin, but no, Lando from
Solo,
his perspective, because of Solo, is first seen playing
Sabacc. Yeah.
On whatever planet.
Right? Yeah.
So, in Solo,
because it says last, you need the last letter of that planet.
Aha.
It was nuts. We didn't do that one. I looked at it and I thought about it for about 5 minutes and I was like, fuck this. Like, there's no fucking way.
We did
finish. I don't even know how to Google this shit. Like,
we did finish. We came in with like 65,000 points.
Yeah, we didn't make the top 5.
Fifth place was only like,
but we were like
5 or 6,000 away from us.
Yeah. We were
was there a prize or was it just like bragging rights?
Yeah, they had prizes for the top 5.
We could have won an X-Wing Corset.
Motherfucker.
Light games.
Oh.
Molly did a really fun puzzle that I thought was very clever, which was a sort of Jedi Force user family tree. that was all blank, and characters were connected by a master pupil, a family member, or
killed. Yeah. And so then there was, and so that was just all blank.
So you had to figure out what Jedi fit into each spot.
And then there was a logic puzzle next to it. So like, it would say like, you know, 1, 3, 5, and 7 were Sith. Right. And then it might say 14 was 17's master until he was blinded by 6. And things like that where you're like, okay, hold on. I think I know what this is. This is Kanan and Ezra. Yeah. All right, okay. And so then you work backwards from there. But like it was pretty crazy. It was really fun.
They were a blast.
All right, so
it was free.
Yeah. All right. So the episode 9 panel.
Oh.
Shit, dude.
Okay, so first of all, we're sitting there, we're all excited. We were very worried because our friends Greg and Beth, who are the ones who are gonna bring us in.
They had 4 passes on their QR code.
So they ran into all kinds of parking trouble, and they got there, and we got in like with like I want to say 7 minutes before the panel was supposed to start.
Yeah.
So it was already, we were all like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, and we all get in and we sit down, and it's like, boom, it's gonna start, and it's like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, welcome your host, Stephen Colbert.
What?
And I almost started to cry just from like emotion. I was like, what the fuck? And there he was, Stephen Colbert, so, comes running the fuck out, and like
he tells this great autobiographical story about how he is an older Star Wars fan than anyone else in the room, and he knows this because he won a radio contest to get 4 tickets for him and his friends to go see it 3 weeks before it came out.
Whoa.
Yeah, he still has like the big fancy ticket.
Yeah, like Willy Wonka golden ticket style. So like he was
fuck you, Stephen Colbert.
Very, very enthusiastic.
Yeah. And then it was just like, and then it
Kathleen
was,
Kennedy
know,
and
yeah,
J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams. Like, oh, that's awesome.
They're all right.
Yeah, that was cool. And then it was just like, boom, here's like the cast of episode 9. John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Kelly Marie Tran, the guy who plays Chewbacca,
the new one, not
Peter
Mayhew.
Yeah, not Peter Mayhew.
And
God damn it. Lando, the actor.
Billy D. Williams was
there. Yeah. Everything about that man is smooth. He came out.
Poe Dameron.
Oscar. Isaac.
Isaac, yeah.
He walked out from backstage just like with a cane in his hand, just like, ay.
Yeah.
And he sauntered out and sat down. Like, everything about that dude is smooth.
They asked him some question about like betraying Han and everything. And he was like, you know, man, I am so tired of being asked, I betrayed Han? Did anybody die? And everyone's like, I'm just saying, nobody died, okay? Like, it wasn't that bad. Like, it was super great.
So with the cast, they brought out BB-8, and then they brought out the new droid,
which you see in the trailer next to BB-8.
It looks kind of like a duck.
Sure.
It's just a fucking wheel with an articulated little kind of duck head on it that can move around and look around in every direction, and it's real. It was rolling around just like BB-8 was rolling around. You're like,
all right,
that's a fucking work of engineering magic. And like
So then they play the trailer, and they're like, no one's ever really gone. And then the fucking Palpatine laugh, and everyone's gasping, and the lights come up, and out walks Ian McDiarmid.
Oh man!
And he walks out, and everyone's just freaking out, and it stops, and he just goes, roll it again. And then he walks away, and then they play the whole trailer again.
That was his entire presence on the panel, was just to wait until we heard that Palpatine laugh
and come out and say roll it again. Yeah.
And they did. And
before we left, we were like, okay, we want to do some photo ops. We didn't know who to do them with. And it was like,
it's not something we've ever done at a convention.
Right,
we don't really usually
I'm
care.
I'm kind of against it. Like, ethically, but at the same time, it felt like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so I wouldn't normally do it, So, we decided we would we'd do a photo op with Ian McDiarmid and Alan Tudyk, because Nick really wanted to meet Ian McDiarmid and have a picture of the Emperor, and I really wanted to meet
It was him
Alan.
Or Billy Dee. Like, it was one of the
and
two.
And I really wanted to meet Alan Tudyk, because, first of all, he's so great in Doom Patrol right now, but also, obviously, Firefly and other things, you know.
And like Rogue One.
Yes.
If you look at
Because, you know, Star Wars.
Right.
If you look at all the photo op pictures that fans have posted of Alan Tudyk, like, he's clearly a dude who has a lot of fun in the pictures.
And right. Yeah. I saw your pictures. And yeah.
Yeah. So when we, and we'll put the pictures on this thing, but when we took the picture with him, we were like, we want to do jazz hands. And he goes, oh, okay. And then he like looks up off into the distance, like fucking Sears portrait.
Does this like
this
beautific,
goofy, weird smile. And his hands are like angel wings, like under his chin. It was great. It was super great. And then for Ian McDiarmid, we were like, we decided we weren't going to say anything.
Right.
Because you have like, it's like this. It's like you walk over, shake the hand, get in position, 1, 2, 3, camera flash, you're gone.
Yeah.
That's all the time.
It's a long fucking line.
They're efficient.
And they say, you get one photo, and if it's really terrible, you can tell them and they'll help you make it right. But like, it seemed like a big deal. So we were like, we're going to do Force Lightning.
Yeah.
We didn't want to make him do it with us. He's an older guy. We didn't
Yeah. He's probably done it 20 times today.
Probably.
So we didn't know. So we signed up for those before seeing the episode 9 trailer.
Yeah.
So when we saw the episode 9 trailer and walked out, it was like, I'm 100 times more excited to get this picture now because.
It was really great.
Yeah. It was like coming out of the episode 9 panel and seeing it and like everyone was crying when. During the trailer, like coming out and talking about it with you know Greg and Beth, like it was now probably one of the closest things to a religious experience. And I know that sounds weird because it's like crass consumerism and it's Star Wars and it's just a movie or whatever. But like,
totally.
It was fucking magical.
It's pretty great fucking trailer though.
It was
in a fucking stadium with 30,000 Star Wars nerds all watching that great fucking trailer.
Palpable.
I don't know if that's going to be a great movie. I mean, I hope it is, but that's a great fucking trailer.
It was magical.
Yeah. So then this last weekend, because we had time, we watched The Force Awakens immediately followed by The Last Jedi. Because they're so back to back in terms of time.
Right.
And then we immediately followed that with the EP9 trailer again. And it was like, hype confirmed. Like, I'm so ready. It was a really fun time.
I had taken the Monday off to recuperate and unpack and do laundry and stuff. And so I popped on Phantom Menace to watch while I was unpacking and stuff because it was the 20th anniversary, right? Like coming back from Star Wars Celebration, watch Phantom Menace on the anniversary, do your unpacking and stuff. It was kind of a fun unwind movie for even though it's not, you know, my favorite.
Yeah.
I feel like it's I would go again. I would want to try to get a VIP badge if possible because they had a lot less line waiting and they got a lot more perks.
How much more did it cost?
I want to say it was another $100 each.
Yeah.
But really, like
they only did 5 days for VIP too. So
yeah, but also,
how much was a 5 day badge?
I don't even remember. I want to say like $150.
I think
really?
More.
So
maybe more, but like. The main thing is like I would stay in a hotel closer to the place. Because we could unfortunately like work got nuts and we couldn't stay the whole time. We were planning originally to be there to leave you know Wednesday and be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Right.
But I had to come back. I had to be back Monday to work. I had to be at work. Just there's a whole lot happening and I can't wait to tell you all about it soon. But then because we had to get the dog boarded, it meant we couldn't really leave until Thursday morning without paying for an extra night of boarding and everything. And also to save on hotel a little bit too. So there was a lot I would have done a little differently, but I still had a really great time.
So with tax, it was about $500 for the 2 5-day passes. It was like $215 plus
with taxes and
tax
fees.
And fees and
so
stuff,
we can
which
assume,
is really not awful.
We can assume close to $500 for a VIP
pass. I would imagine so. And I don't know.
Probably.
And honestly, now that I've been, I don't know that I would do it again and do that. I don't know. But I feel like the money we spent on Celebration could have been spent on another vacation that would have been an experience for me that I would have liked more. But I'm also not really into crowds and line waiting and just buying shit to buy shit. Like, it's not really my deal.
It's, like, the VIP passes got to get into the exhibit hall ahead of time. They got their own line for the Celebration store that bypassed the other line. Like, there are a lot of things. They got their own door for entry to the place.
They each got an exclusive pin that no one else got. Like,
did they do, like, movie showings or any shit like that?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a theater off the campus that did Star Wars movies, but we didn't really.
Did you have to pay extra? Or was that part of your?
I don't know. We didn't check it out.
All right. just wondering.
So yeah, I guess I would say if you've been on the fence and you're wondering, go to Anaheim 2020. Be also like a perk, Galaxy's Edge will be open right next door in Disneyland.
Oh, it will be.
So
I'm sure they'll be doing special stuff for it too.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that I'm glad I went. I don't want to make it sound like I didn't enjoy it or that I'm ungrateful for the experience at all, but I just feel like it is exactly what you think it is. It is a giant convention.
Yeah.
It is not anything other than
but
a giant
totally
convention.
Star Wars.
Neither of us had ever been to a large convention that, with the exception of Molly working like Gen Con.
Working Gen Con doesn't count because I saw like a 2-foot square of the Fantasy Flight booth, or I ate ravioli cold on the floor. Like it was not.
So we don't have anything to compare this to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to San Diego Comic Con and it sounds a lot like that. Yeah. Only all Star Wars.
Yeah.
Not to look at, but at the same time, like after,
bring your wallet.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, you're
really
gonna paying for VIP sounds like you can just get to shit to buy faster.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of can't think about how much money it costs.
You could probably honestly, like this might sound skeezy, and I hate the people to do this, but I'm sure there are people that made their money back on VIP passes buying exclusive items and then.
Oh, no
trading
doubt.
And selling them.
No doubt.
Like, I'm sure they made their money back.
But much like we talked about with our previous guest, like, you know, life is moments, not days, right?
So,
it's definitely a series of moments that we will never forget.
Oh, yeah. No
whether
regrets.
It's because we were driving through a blizzard where we literally couldn't see the road for hours, or because we got to see Daisy Ridley and John Boyega and Oscar Isaacs, like, so close that I could, like, see their faces on their persons, you know? Like, it was nuts.
Yeah, I might try to go next year. I'd like to go once. I don't know that I want to go more than
and
that.
That's
but
kinda where
totally.
Yeah.
All right. So we got to do five questions.
We have five questions.
Who do we have?
Five questions from Patreon supporter Adam Treese.
Adam Treese. Hey, Adam.
Yeah. I know him.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
We've met. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
I go to Disney World with him.
So you do.
Yeah.
That's
we're going
right.
to see.
Right.
I'm
going to
be a Galaxy's Edge with him.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it's going
to
be
Maybe
exciting.
Maybe you could go to Star Wars Celebration with
we
him.
We could. We should talk about it. He'd like that.
All right. So All question right. one.
Yeah.
Do you have something you enjoy a lot, but which you find you don't feel like you mesh with the fandom?
God.
Star Trek? Yeah. I'm on this like shit posting Star Trek group on Facebook.
Yeah.
And like even it's pretty heavily moderated. People don't take any like fucking homophobia or bigotry.
Yeah.
Like those people are dealt with. It gets trolled a lot. But like there's another group that's like the rival group, which is like the Star Trek conservatives Facebook group.
Ew.
And like the rivalry between them, the fandom itself, the way people, even the people that love like Discovery, the way they talk about it. I'm just like, I just like these shows.
Yeah.
I don't really like most of the fandom. It's so fucking gatekeepy.
Yeah.
Like it's, and like the way people talk shit about like J.J. Abrams and shit, it's really rough.
Mine is running. I love running. I genuinely do not like other runners by and large, especially on Reddit. I was on the running subreddit for like just maybe a couple months. And honestly, the way they talk to people and the way they act and the elitism there, so you're just a casual runner. It's like, I mean, I guess I've been doing it for 31 years, but sure, casual, I guess. Like, it's something I identify as. I don't know. I just, in general, a lot of the people who run, it's like, I've gone to 5Ks and just felt like I didn't belong because I don't belong up with the elites, but I sure as shit don't belong with the people who are just there to, like, drink their coffee and walk a stroller 5K, right? Like, it's, I don't know. It's, I never feel like I fit in, but that's fine with me because running is a thing I do just for me.
Yeah, so. Sure.
Yeah, this is hard for me. I always kind of when it comes to fandom, I kind of describe myself as a jack of all trades. I like almost everything, but I'm not an expert on any of them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I like what I like and I'll watch Doctor Who, but that doesn't mean that I go deep dive on Doctor Who or deep dive on Star Wars or deep dive on Star Trek. But I guess if I had to pick any, it would be Firefly. I mean, I like Firefly, but I think Firefly fans are just like, get the fuck over it, man.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest thing that's ever happened. The only reason you think that is because there were only 13 episodes.
Right.
If it lasted for 5, 6, 7 seasons, there'd be just as much shitty Firefly as there is good Firefly.
Like, don't get me wrong. I went through my period where I was also obsessed with it and thought it was amazing. But like, I never, I don't know. People who are like, I'm a brown coat and stuff. It's like, you are not a part of a fictional war. Like, that's not.
Also, you're an analog for Confederate soldiers.
Yeah.
I've never understood that enthusiasm about brown coats when they're so clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
All right, question two from Adam. What are your ideal movie watching setup / circumstances?
Movie theater. I just like with Dolby sound, with the best fucking projection, with the fewest number of people possible, aside from me and the people that I want to watch it with, where I'm sitting in the middle of the goddamn movie theater and I'm just enjoying the shit out of that movie.
I think I'm going to go with that. That's for me too.
I have like a two-part answer. Yeah. So like our tickets for Endgame on Friday are AMC Prime, which is like the big comfy fucking recliner seats with plenty of elbow room between you and everyone else. The seats rumble with the sound, like it's not obnoxious D-box, like it's subtle enough. We're right in the middle, we're right in the front of, like, it's great. At home, Molly got these some Hue lights for at home. So our living room is these color Hue lights, and so when we're gonna watch something at home, we can say, hey, Siri, you're watching a movie, and it will turn all the lights like down except for one in the corner, which it kind of makes
all
a little yellow, purple and blue, like really dark tones for seeing. But then there's this cool thing we can do where we hook a laptop up to the TV and it knows where the lights are in comparison to the television, in relation to TV.
In terms of what's on the screen,
and so,
like what the movie is showing.
If something blue moves off the screen to the left, the lights to the left of the TV are blue as the thing exits the side of the TV.
Like if it goes into, like, for example, like, you know, if you're watching The Shining and all the blood pours out of the elevator, everything might get more red.
And all of a sudden,
and
it might start more red at the bottom and then get more red at the top as it fills the screen.
It's very cool.
It's neat. Huh. It's
I still
not,
prefer a movie theater just because it's a movie theater. But yes, I agree. That is pretty great.
That is pretty cool.
It's
all
fun.
Right. Question number three. And I'm going to say that Adam means the MCU for this.
Okay.
All right.
Question three. Who's the worst Avenger? I will answer first because I have an easy answer.
Yeah.
It's Scarlet Witch.
Ah, damn
because
you.
Because they fucked up because they didn't want to do mutants because they had their whole nonsense with
Fox.
Well,
they couldn't do mutants.
Right. So rather than just not do Scarlet Witch, they did Scarlet Witch anyway and made her this weird... She's not a mutant. She's just got some powers and like
mind gem.
And it's weird.
Tweaked.
And also it's like... So now I guess that means that even though now they can do mutants, we're never going to get Scarlet Witch because like... They already did Scarlet Witch, but she's not nearly as powerful as Scarlet Witch. And I don't know. I just think out of all the Avengers, I think she's the worst one in the MCU.
All right.
War Machine.
Yeah. War Machine?
It's because
you don't like Don Cheadle?
I like Don Cheadle. He's great. He's awesome. I love him in interviews and in promotion for the movies and stuff. He's great. War Machine is fucking military propaganda.
Ooh, yes.
Like he's Air Force Iron Man. Like
Captain America who only follows orders.
What is he? He's Iron Man, but we bolted on more guns.
Yeah.
Did he build the suit? No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's just a guy in a suit that didn't even build the suit. I mean, what's his powers? He was in the military.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. He was really good at the military, and then we put him in the suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
right,
he fell
right.
and broke his back.
All right, Tim, worst Avenger.
Well, yeah, and you've taken some good ones, so I'm going to have to go with Winter Soldier.
Ooh.
Because he's just emo Captain America.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's seriously,
true.
he's just like sulky. My life has been shit because I've been a stooge for the Russian for Hydra,
like,
even
Christ,
though I didn't want to.
Like
stop moping and grow a pair.
He's a little better since Shuri fixed him. It seems
whatever maybe. You know whatever he.
I'm expecting we're gonna see some solid Winter Soldier redemption situation.
Well,
in
Tim,
Endgame, but
if and when Steve dies and Bucky,
well, I know
is
he's probably
Captain
gonna be
America.
Captain America.
That's how it is in Brubaker's comics.
Yeah.
He's the one that takes up the shield.
All right,
he's a good Cap.
Question
potential
four.
Spoiler, we don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Question four. If you could give 15-year-old you one piece of advice, what would it be? Yeah.
15-year-old me.
15-year-old you.
Smoke less pot.
Yeah. That's good advice yeah. for 15-year-old Nick.
Yeah, 15. Yeah. yeah. There'd be smoke less pot. Maybe go to class a little more.
I think mine is going to be you probably should go to therapy. You are way too anxious. You are giving yourself ulcers worrying about college at 15. Like, you need to calm down and just kind of chill out. And it will happen naturally when you get to age 21 and smoke weed finally. But, like, if you could just, like, get your brain space around it, you're going to save yourself a good bit of time in the next 6 years.
We were, like, opposites.
I would just tell 15-year-old me to take a year off college after my dad died.
I thought he died when you were 17.
Well, no, he died when I was 18.
Oh, okay.
But I think 15-year-old me should know that.
See,
18.
You're gonna freak the fuck out of 15-year-old you.
Why not? I'm just gonna say if something really awful happens in your second year of college,
take a year off. Yeah.
I'm not going to say that something awful happens. I'm just saying, if it does,
maybe say ominous. Maybe add it. Maybe couple it with spend more time with your dad while you can.
Spend more time with your dad
while you can.
15-year-old Tim will never put it together. He'll never put it together.
No, he'd be too stupid. All right.
And finally, question 5: what villain would you like to see in the Spider-Man movie after Far From Home? Who's in Far From Home?
Mysterio.
All
is Mysterio.
Okay.
Mysterio.
D'Onofrio's Kingpin.
Ooh, yeah.
I would love to see him be the first, and if he's the only, I'm fine with that, really, the first character to go from Netflix to the big screen MCU. Yeah. I think his seriousness and size and lethality against Tom Holland, who is so young and so small in comparison, I think it would be a really good matchup. I think you could get in like Hammerhead and a bunch of good henchmen to keep it comic booky. I think that would be really great.
Yeah,
I think that'd be good.
I would like to see Doc Ock.
Yeah,
I love Doc Ock.
Doc Ock, and I think that especially if they did I know they had Doc Ock in Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
but it would be cool if they kept up with that and did a female.
She was great. Yeah,
and I think that a female Doc Ock would be really good, and I would like to see that go. Plus, women in STEM. You know, I just why not?
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. For me. And Doc Ock is great, and Green Goblin is great. I mean, those are you know, like the quintessential Spider-Man villains. But the fact that they're going for Mysterio, the fact that they managed to rescue the Vulture, says to me that the Spider-Man villain that they need to bring for the next Spider-Man movie is Kraven the Hunter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Kraven the Hunter is the dumbest. I mean, and Spider-Man's got some dumb villains.
Right.
But Kraven the Hunter is a really fucking dumb villain.
Yeah.
They're all animal-based assholes, and he's the hunter. So, yeah.
But if they can do what they did with the Vulture.
Yeah.
Which was spectacular. Where the Vulture comes from and the Vulture's origins.
So yeah.
If they can do what they did there with the Vulture, if they can do what I hope they can do with Mysterio, then I want to see him do Kraven the Hunter.
I tell you what I'd want least really is Carnage or even Venom. I'm really good on
either
Venom.
Of those.
I'm really just fine on Venom. It's so
I'm done with Venom after that. That travesty.
It's 90s edgelord villain. Like I just think it's embodies so much of what I don't like about. It's like Spawn's cape, right? Like we get it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
That was 5 questions from Adam Treese.
Hey.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. We really appreciate your Patreon support. Remember, if you support us on Patreon, you can put your that you are a supporter when you send us your 5 questions, and we will bump you to the top of the queue, just like we did with Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we did. And just like we're going
to
do with
it. We'll put you in the Patreon queue. It doesn't mean you get bumped to the top of the Patreon.
We'll bump you to the bottom of the Patreon queue, but that's still ahead
of
all the other plebes.
That's right.
I don't want to call those of you that have sent in our questions and aren't Patreon supporters plebes, but I just did, so I'm sorry about that.
I mean
that's just the way it is. We haven't had a lot of iTunes reviews lately.
That's
so
true.
Hey, do us a favor. If you're a new listener, go out and review us on iTunes. We'd sure appreciate that. It makes us look more impressive than we really are. Well, and speaking of more impressive than we really are, we are so impressive. We've been doing this for over 350 episodes without a break.
Whoa! Hey.
The streak continues.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it going to continue next week? I don't know.
We're just setting ourselves up to fail eventually. We're going to fall hard.
It's going
to
be the worst.
Yeah.
But it might not be next week.
It probably won't.
Come back next week and find out. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Tim, join us.
At Celebration.
I'll never join you.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
So I got to bring my mom.